Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. Praise God for this time that we share together, and I'm so glad you joined me today. And we're going to begin a message. I'll start today and we'll continue next week as the Lord gives opportunity about living the victorious life. Now, if you've heard the broadcast, the remainder of this past week, we've been talking about the importance of being evangelists, if you will, for the Lord, as God presents opportunities. Not that we're to go out in any great showy way to try to bring souls into the kingdom, but just be sensitive to the opportunities that the Holy Spirit will present to us, regardless of your age, regardless of your circumstances, your physical abilities or disabilities. God has a plan for you in this season of your life. That's one thing I'm absolutely convinced of. And no matter what you say, you can't make an excuse to say, well, because of this, because of that, because God is fully aware. He is not an unjust God. He knows your limitations, but He knows also the things that He will enable you to do in this present season of your life. And so we're going to talk about living the victorious life. Now, we've shared that we understand, even if you're not in the greatest of places, you say, yes, I know, Jesus, that was the Great Commission. That was the last instructions that He gave to His disciples before He ascended to the Father. Well, we know that, but many times, even though we can affirm the truth of that and agree with it, it's like, yes, that's a godly thing, that's a right thing, yes, I should do that, unless we're actually doing it, we can feel guilty, we can feel condemned, we can feel unworthy, that we are such an imperfect vessel, then there's no way God could use us to talk about the good news of the gospel. Now, of course, that is a lie. But the fact is, because of the times in which we are living, spiritual warfare is very, very intense. And sometimes it's all you can do. I mean, some of you may have listened this week and it's like, well, that sounds great, but I'm just able to put one foot in front of the other. God knows that. And He, with His delivering power and His anointing, desires to set you free from the lies and deceptions the enemy would bring against you. Because many times, and I have to say, even from my own experience, it's believing those lies, it's not appropriating God's power that keep us in that state. But I understand we can be so beat down and have gone through so many trials that we just don't have strength. And God knows that. But that's why I'm asking and I'm addressing those who've been in very difficult times, that you will be able to have hope and faith that your circumstances will change. And for those of you who are pressing on in God and you love God and everything's great and wonderful, you know what? You have a responsibility to pray for your brothers and sisters, those who are struggling, those who may be weak in the faith, those maybe who may be young believers, and the devil's doing everything he can to, you know, throw off the yoke of Christianity, if you will, and just go back into the world. It's too hard. It's not worth it. Well, those are all lies. And so we do have an important part to play in this time in which we are living. And so if you've ever wondered why Christians fall into a place of doing things not pleasing to the Lord or failing to do those things that please the Lord, it's because, I believe, of personal battles. They're so embroiled, they can't look beyond their own immediate situation. And when we look in the Bible, we can take comfort because we find many of those called of God have fallen in their walk with the Lord. All we have to do is just look at the life of David. Yet, God loved them, and they did mighty things for God. God forgave them. And as I begin this message, let me just say, while they failed at one time or another, they didn't remain in that failure. Or perhaps they departed from the Lord, as Paul says about Demas, who left the ministry to enjoy the pleasures of this world. He doesn't give details, but it's a sad commentary that he who was ministered with Paul would just leave him for the pleasures of this world. We have a free will. God does not force us to do anything. But many of God's dear people are living lives of anxiety and doubt and fear and guilt, condemnation, insecurity, and disillusionment because of what we find God's Word tells us how we ought to be, what we should do. And so many times they try as hard as they might, but they still slip and fall. And Satan wants God's people to think there is no hope. Beloved, that is a lie. He doesn't want you to find the answer to whatever problems you are facing. The devil is ever trying to rob the children of God of the power, the joy, and the victory that is our inheritance, that is readily promised and available to us from the Lord. And how does he do this? He puts before the Christian a series of alternatives and excuses instead of spirit-filled actions, like submitting to God and resisting the enemy. So often we can, you know, we have a very clever enemy, an adversary. He knows human nature. He waits until we're weak, we're vulnerable, and that's when he pounces on the hardest, not when we're just praising God and walking in the anointing. He's a very subtle and wise adversary. He knows human nature. Wise not in terms of the things of God, but he knows human nature. He's been around since before man was created, okay? So he knows the human frailties. And so every Christian faces what some would call an inner conflict, meaning their heart's desire, the willingness of their spirit to obey God, and the great conflict that ensues when they do try to press in to walk as the Word tells us that we are to walk. Paul, you know, he faced that very dilemma. He said, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" The things that he didn't want to do, he did. The things he wanted to do, he didn't do. Why? Why the discrepancy? He says, "I thank God. Who will deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so, what's going on, beloved? Well, when we receive Jesus as Savior in our lives, there's a twofold work that takes place. It involves an inward as well as an outward change. When we experience the genuine new birth, we receive a new nature containing new desires and new hope and new aspirations. Our behavior is not just modified, beloved. It is changed. If a person is born again, there is transformation. There is change. They simply cannot do the things they did before, not without tremendous ramification personally. They abhor themselves if they actually did fall. Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Jesus told Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That's John 3:6. And remember, he said, "You must be born again." And here this great teacher of Israel had a hard time kind of comprehending that. He was thinking, how can a man be born twice? You know, thinking of the natural birth. Obviously, what does this imply? That which is born of the flesh. Well, all that we are physically, it's our fat, our muscle, our tissue, our cells, flesh and blood, protoplasm, plasma, body parts, heart, all the vital organs. But also, it's the old Adamic nature with its intellect as well as its emotions. That's, you know, the soul contains the seat of the will, the feelings, the emotions, and our spirit, man, that is what was born again. Our soul and body are not redeemed at this point. The soul then begins a walk in God that is called sanctification. And as far as our physical bodies, unless the Lord returns, well, then we shall go by way of the grave. But our final redemption occurs when we receive a new body at the return of the Lord, like unto that of our glorious Lord and Savior, praise God, that is not mortal, but immortal. It's not carnal, but it's a spiritual, yet a physical substance. Jesus, remember when he appeared, he said, hey, I'm not, they thought he was a ghost, a spirit. He said, no, I'm not. He said, I've got flesh and bone. And then he said, do you have something to eat? He was demonstrating that he was very much, he said, feel me, see my wounds. It's me. It's not a ghost. It's not a spirit. And so we will have a wonderful vessel that is so unlike the present body that we inhabit at this point in time. And so all these things I've just shared with you make up our carnal nature. And the fact that we have been born in sin, basically the flesh nature, if you will, in God's eyes, is corrupt because humanity became corrupt and sinful at the very beginning when Adam and Eve first sinned. In reality, their sin really consisted of, first, it was unbelief, and secondly, disobedience, and thirdly, their self-willed action. And because of Adam and Eve, man died spiritually. God didn't do it. Adam and Eve killed man, the human race, spiritually. The reason all mankind is corrupt is because all mankind has its heritage in Adam. Therefore, we have the need of a Savior. Well, I'm going to stop here, and next week, Lord willing, we will continue right where we left off. And I pray that as you have the opportunity, you'll be able to join me at the same time, or if circumstances and your pleasure choose, you can always go to our website and listen to the clicking on the broadcast. They are archived there for your convenience. I love you, and I pray for you every day. I pray and fast regularly for my UCM partners, as well as for my radio family, for the body of Christ, because my desire, and I believe the desire of every God-called man and woman of God, is to see the body of Christ raised into maturity and to do the works that Jesus has called us to do, even those greater works. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.